This is Jay Sekulow. The president adds North Korea, Venezuela, and Chad to the list of nations facing travel restrictions.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
8 countries. It's Iran, Libya, Syria, and Yemen, and Somalia, who were all on the original list. Adding to that, Chad and North Korea, and also restricts certain people from Venezuela. The difference with this new list is there is no expiration date, and the travel restrictions are specifically tailored to each individual country. It's not the sort of blanket ban that we saw with the original travel ban.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Do you like this order any more than the last one, legally?
Oh, I think this is far and away the strongest of the three orders with respect to its taking into account the judicial concerns that the other two had.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And we start this week off with a new order from the President of the United States. Presidential proclamation enhancing vetting capabilities and processes for detecting attempted entry into the United States by terrorists or other public safety threats. As mentioned, it includes now the following 8 countries are now part of this list. This was developed by the Department of Homeland Security. They include Chad, Iran, Syria, Libya, Somalia, North Korea, Venezuela, and Yemen. In effect, immigration has been banned or at least severely restricted from these countries. Existing visa holders are exempt. Waivers exist for those with family in the United States and Sudan. Previously included on the list, Sudan was previously included on the list, was dropped for compliance. They were added back again. The refugee halt is not addressed in this new procedure. This ban, 92.2% of the Muslim world is not impacted by this ban. So trying to call it a Muslim ban is just incorrect as a matter of law. But it is affecting the reality of the threats we face, and it adds to it Jordan, Venezuela, and in addition, North Korea, which is not shocking, actually, in light of everything that's happened.
No, it's actually a reflection of the president authorizing this power through executive order, as he said, to continue to expand and also remove countries who do comply, Sudan being an example of that. Not a great country, but they've complied, so they are no longer on this list. Iraq, which was taken off the first list. Again, it's mentioned in here. They're not perfect, but they are complying so that they do not warrant being on a ban or pause like this when it comes to immigration. I call this one a ban because there is no time frame on this. This is very much up to when do you get up to speed to be able to then be taken off the list. So this is the U.S. saying, you're on the list now.
It's
do
up to
what
them
we say.
To produce the data.
Here's what
and
you to need
show
to do.
Show the processes that meet our Department of Homeland Security's requirements. So this is not a temporary fix, and we'll give them 120 days and see where we are. This is a situation where we have a specific order in place, basically, and it's up to those countries of origin to determine or to convince the United States Department of Homeland Security, I'm sure the other security agencies, that they, in fact, can meet that challenge.
And what's clear here now is that this whole idea that this was a Muslim ban, I mean, North Korea is not a Muslim country, Venezuela is not a Muslim country, and Chad is about 50-50, so it's about 54% Muslim. That, again, goes to that heart of that this is not targeting one specific group of people or religious group of people, and that it's flexible, that that's part of being the executive, that you carry out the laws as you see fit when it comes to our national security so that these are going to be things that change. We're not going to just set and say, these are the 6 countries forever. That's not the case.
No, and it puts the burden of proof on those countries to establish that they've got the appropriate vetting procedures in place. We want your reaction to this. 1-800-684-3110. And then, of course, also, boy, developments in North Korea. We flew airplanes, jets. Fighter jets over the demilitarized zone. We'll be talking about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. But we'll take your calls. Logan will let you know how you can engage the conversation.
That's right. Give us a call. We just opened the lines. 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard, now is the time. 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting live on social media. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope and Twitter @JaySekulow. You can find us there. You can get your comments in. But again, phone lines are open for you. To give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we encourage you to do that. We want to get your opinion on this new move by the president. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So a brand new order comes out, a new travel restriction put in place. This one, the following eight countries: Chad, Iran, Syria, Libya, Somalia, North Korea, Venezuela, and Yemen. 92.2% of the Muslim world are free to travel to the United States. Venezuela, of course,
that's right.
Excuse me, not a predominantly Muslim country by any stretch of the imagination, nor is North Korea. This was determined by our Office of Homeland Security. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays into the Supreme Court review. Briefs have already been filed on this, although on Saturday night, the Department of Justice has asked that, actually on Sunday night, a letter was filed with the court suggesting that both sides in the litigation be required to file new legal briefs by October 5th addressing what effect the new restrictions would have on the case, which means those of us that have filed briefs, which we have, we probably will be having to file additional amicus, friend of the court briefs as well on this, which we will do. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Kind of a couple interesting questions have already come in from Facebook and Periscope. Logan, let's take one of those.
Sure. Robin just said, will the Ninth Circuit try to stop this? Is this something that
I think what they'll do is the ACLU, I've got that already. So the ACLU has said they're going to file a lawsuit. They put it breaking news. ACLU comment on Trump administration's new travel ban. President Trump tonight issued a third version of his, quote, Muslim ban. That's what they're calling it, by the way. Like the previous version, this ban blocks travel to the United States. And then they keep calling it a Muslim ban 3.0. My goodness, it covers North Korea and Venezuela. But this shows you what's going to happen in the case. Yes, there's going to be litigation.
There will be, but there's Supreme Court precedent already here that's very strong, though the court has not heard the oral arguments. It's been very clear that this has survived so far all Supreme Court scrutiny. And as we predicted, now with this new move, there may be some changes because on the one hand, these are indefinite, so there's not going to be a timeline. That may be something the court looks at a little bit differently than having, you know, 90 and 120 days. We have not yet gotten what will happen on refugees. What we're hearing is it's going to be tailored to specific regions, and that there'll be quotas in place for specific regions. So we're waiting for the refugee portion of this travel executive order. That will certainly then probably be up at the Supreme Court as well with the new briefing. I think that will certainly require a new briefing for the court to hear that. And then on the immigration issue, this is no longer about the 90 and 120 days. This is indefinite, but with these more flexible options to be removed quickly from the list and be added to the list very quickly.
Yeah, so this gives flexibility. So the administration is actually responding to the situations as it develops, which is interesting and I think a good approach. Janelle on Facebook said, which countries are on the list? Let me say it again. Chad, Iran, Syria, Libya, Somalia, North Korea, Venezuela, and Yemen. Sudan has been taken off the list. But again, this can be modified at any moment. I mean, this is something where if the Department of Homeland Security feels like there's a need, they could address that need immediately.
And even Venezuela, it's not a blanket. So it's not like no one can come from Venezuela during their economic hardships. It's government officials and their families who are banned. So you have to actually read this executive order. It's not just outright bans for all of these countries that are listed. Now, for Chad, where we recognize that the government of Chad's an important and valuable counterterrorism partner of the U.S., it says Chad has shown a willingness to improve these areas on border management and expand cooperation, but right now they fail to satisfy at least one key risk criterion. And additionally, there's several terrorist groups active within Chad, like Boko Haram, ISIS West Africa, Al-Qaeda, and the Islamic Maghreb. So at this time, they need more information from the from Chad. They're working with them very closely. So for right now, in Chad's case, the entry into the U.S. of nationals of Chad as immigrants and non-immigrants on business tourists and business tourist visas hereby suspended. So that's different than the situation is Venezuela. Then you could go to look at Iran. In Iran, the entry into the United States of nationals of Iran as immigrants, as non-immigrants, is hereby suspended, except that entry by such nationals under valid student and exchange visitor visas.
That which requires a whole different level of vetting for them to even get that visa in the first place.
Each one of these countries is narrowly tailored.
Yep. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You think this was the right thing? What do you think about adding? Do you think this was the right thing for the president to do? And what do you think about adding to it Venezuela and North Korea? And also the permanent nature of this and the flexibility. We want to get your reactions to all of this at 1-800-684-3110. Rick on Facebook says, sounds like they put together the perfect order. I think it is in the sense that it's flexible. And I think in the light of changing demographics and changing threat levels, I think you have to have a level of flexibility here that you have to put in place. Now, the ACLU, Anthony Romero, not too happy about this. By the way, what's the message you want to send to the ACLU on that one? I mean, I think we're going to have to challenge him in court. Six of the president's countries target are Muslim. This is what he said. The fact that Trump adds North Korea with few visitors to the U.S. and a few government officials from Venezuela does not obfuscate the real fact that the administration's order is still a Muslim ban. President Trump's original sin of targeting Muslims cannot be cured by throwing other countries onto his enemy's lip. Really? 92.2% of Muslims are free to travel to the United States without any hindrance whatsoever. Let me give you that number again. 92.2. That's the number. So I want your reaction to what you want to say. What do you say to the ACLU? I know what we're going to be saying in court. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, what are we seeing on social media?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just saying, yeah, the president, what he's doing is right. This is something that we should always have considered and glad that it's going through this time again.
Yeah, so I think people are recognizing that, look, the threat matrix changes, okay? So before you had the initial response when the president first came in, then you had the second one, which is now subject to the Supreme Court case. Now, this is a third one, which is even more tailored. The question's going to be, and I've had these cases at the Supreme Court, when you have this much data, how do you separate all this out? And I think what the court's going to probably do, it sounds like the Department of Justice has asked for this, and that is to simplify it with a new briefing schedule so that this order is included. By the way, this order does not affect at all the issue of refugees. So that the previous order would deal with refugees. This is not a superseding order. Remember, the second order in this case, there were three orders now. First one came out, there was some trouble, was removed. Second one is the one that's in place. That's at the Supreme Court. Supreme Court preliminary reviewed it and ruled 9-0 that it was constitutional. Then this one is adding to additional matters, so we'll probably be added in brief. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan. Again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Linda in Falls Church, Virginia on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I strongly support, I'll be honest, I voted against Hillary. I didn't vote for Trump, but I like everything he's done. And I just saw on the news about the Sudanese refugee or immigrant that shot people at a church. I think that's just one more example. I don't know if Sudan's on the ban, but I mean,
Sudan is now off the ban, and it's because they are able, they have convinced the Department of Homeland Security that they can comply. So what's happening here is, and that is, it was a horrible situation in that church in Tennessee, and our thoughts and prayer with the family of the woman that died, as well as the church members there. It was interesting. The church asked for prayers for the families that were injured. They asked for prayers for the assailant as well, which tells you about that church, I think, in a very good way. that they would do that. Having said that, Sudan is evidently convinced the Department of Homeland Security that they can comply. And it's interesting. I said that. I think we talked about this during the break. Jordan has traveled to Sudan or South Sudan. And I would not think that would normally be a country that would be able to comply.
No, but they have a strongman government that they don't want to issue a lot of visas anyways for people leaving. So they could certainly vet better. They don't want to lose that ability to do business. And I want to point out this individual who was here who carried out this horrible attack would not have been affected by this new move to take Sudan off the list and was probably here previously because, remember, this travel ban was just into effect that included Sudan just months ago, just about 90 days ago. So this is probably an individual who entered under the Obama years. We know there's a problem with the Sudanese community, some radicalism in the Sudanese community in America, like the Somali community. But that does not mean that going forward, carefully vetted people cannot travel here as non-immigrant.
Yeah, and this guy, the one, the assailant here, the accused, was here for 20 years.
I mean, yeah, so this was way before
he came here as a child. So
kind of
this was just a horrible situation. But
we know we have a self-radicalization problem.
Yeah, and we're not even sure. Has he claimed any kind of Muslim following? I don't even know if he has yet. I mean, people don't know. I think
90%.
Well, no, he was a member of the church when growing up. So, I mean, it was, you know, so it's very hard to say that. All right, we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be joined by Harry Hutchison and Dr. Andy Akon. We'll discuss the legal issues here. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. ACLU, not surprisingly, reacting to this. By the way, we're going into the final days of the month of September. We're having a great month. Your support of the ACLJ is just making a huge difference, and I encourage you to go to aclj.org and support our work. Right now, the piece that we have out is on this whole situation with the unmasking, the record number of unmaskings, I might add, on that Samantha Powers was engaged in. I mean, just a breathtaking number. Was it 250, I think, or 260 in the last several months of the Obama administration? We've got Freedom of Information Act. We got litigation on the deep state on that. You could help us. Go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We're going to talk about healthcare coming up as well in the second half hour. North Korea. We got a lot of news to cover here. And again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. All right.
That's right. Phone lines are open if you want to call in. You can also find us broadcasting online on social media. We'll have some exclusive videos coming up later on in the show, but we also keep the show going during the breaks. So if you lose us or if you don't like commercials, you can find us broadcasting online. ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSecular, Periscope, and Twitter @JSecular. We'll be right back with more on the air.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got a brand new travel order in place. Let me go to Dr. Andrew Economo, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, and Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy. Harry, first, your reaction to the new policy.
Well, Jay, I think the policy is clearly justified, in part because the president has constitutional and statutory authority within the realm of national security. Secondly, we should note that there is a compelling need to improve our national security posture in an era that is marked by terror. We had a terrorist incident in Barcelona recently. We had one in Manchester. So terror continues to be a threat to the West. And ISIS, for instance, has charged its members with the responsibility for essentially coming to Western countries as either refugees or immigrants. Yep. So the president clearly has constitutional and statutory authority to reduce this threat. The Supreme Court, at least in part, has already agreed.
Yes, unanimously.
Unanimously in its June 26th decision, issuing a stay on the litigation.
So it's going to be interesting, though, because it gets a little complicated now.
Absolutely.
And we've got kind of executive order at least 2.7 here. So the Department of Justice has asked for additional briefing. I suspect that we will be filing additional briefing as well. What's your reaction to the order as well?
Well, I think that the order puts to bed this entire idea that the president is after people who are of the Islamic religion.
92.2% of Muslims free to travel to the United
States. That's right. Only this covers basically 8% of the world's Islamic population. So the whole idea that the president had an animus against Islamic faith people is ridiculous, and I think it puts that once and forever to bed. The methodology for evaluating foreign governments regarding sharing information requirements was used, and it was the basis of the order. The U.S. government review and the determination of whether to issue the order involved an evaluation of foreign governments' information sharing practices against the requirements established in Section 2 of the report, and the evaluation was based on current practices of those countries, as well as additional 50-day, input gathered during a 50-day engagement period with the foreign government. So in other words, the restrictions were tailored as appropriate, Jay, given the unique conditions in and the deficiencies of each country, as well as other country-specific considerations. This was a well-drafted, well-crafted executive order. I was very impressed with the detail that it contained, and I was very impressed with how it came down on the various countries that were subject to the restrictions and the ban, if you will.
You know, it's interesting. We have in our memos that were put together on Iraq, Iraq did not meet the requirements of security clearance, but they're not on this because of their extensive cooperation in the fight against ISIS, which also tells you that even if you're not on the list, that does not mean you're going to be subject to, you still could be subject to enhanced vetting.
Yes.
I mean, so that's important,
right,
to point out.
Yeah, I was just reading through on one of the ones for, like, Somalia. Also, it says that, like, not everyone is banned from Somalia, but any non-immigrants need to go through additional screening to make sure that they are not aligned with a terrorist organization.
Yep.
So these are not, if you read through there, some of these eight countries, they are complete bans. Others, which are bans with asterisks next,
yep,
to them. And availability. So again, targeting the worst offenders usually.
But there's no free pass. I mean, you don't just come into the United States. People are going to be still, if you're not on the list, you're still going to be subject to enhanced interrogation in vetting. I mean, questions are going to be asked, thorough questions are going to be asked, backgrounds are going to be filled out. So this is just a country where there's a prohibition. Other countries still subject. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Les in Florida on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Les. Go ahead.
Hey, Jay, I sure appreciate your service to freedom, bud.
Thanks.
It's really great. And I was wondering, how is the judiciary allowed to proclaim standing in matters of national security.
Well, here's exactly what happened. The American Civil Liberties Union, you saw it in their tweets and their breaking news statements. Them and the Immigration Center, they file lawsuits. And that's, we live in a country where if you can challenge a court order, you can challenge an order from the president. I think that, look, it's a free, that's what makes America unique. You can challenge us. Now, here, the lower courts were not receptive to this. However, the courts of the Supreme Court of the United States really chastised these lower courts for failing, Harry, to recognize the both statutory and constitutional authority clearly vested by the Constitution in the President of the United States on regarding naturalization matters.
I think you're absolutely right. And the lower courts have disregarded their constitutional duty to enforce the law. So the lower courts essentially agreed with the ACLU's claim that we could use the president's campaign statements as a basis for invalidating his constitutional and statutory authority. This makes no sense in a constitutional democracy. I fully expect that the Supreme Court will support and uphold the president's new proclamation.
I think we're also going to be filing additional briefs on this. Andy, you talked about this, and I think it's, we'll take a call in a minute here, but it also, it lays out a fundamentally inside the new order, it lays out procedures where people want to challenge it. So it's very clear and very precise as to process.
That's exactly correct, Jay. The restrictions were tailored as appropriate given the unique conditions and the deficiencies in each country. The proclamation applies to nationals from the covered countries. Applies to nationals from covered countries applying for a visa effective immediately and for nationals of countries subject to the entry restrictions of the prior executive order. But what impressed me was the care that was taken in drafting the document so that there was not an absolute ban across the board, but it was done very carefully and with a great deal of thought and in the vetting process.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. We'll take your calls, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. Talk about North Korean healthcare coming up in the next half hour.
All right, quick call. Richard in Maryland, you're on the air.
Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
I wanted to know, I'm still not clear if Iran's on the list, but also...
It is. Chad, Iran, Syria, Libya, Somalia, North Korea, Venezuela, and Yemen.
And could I ask you, do you think in a way, it's kind of a broad brushstroke, a lot of the people that are doing all of this rebellion against this, that, and the other thing, and I don't mean necessarily monetarily, that are sold out to probably... whether they've been to college the last few years or whether or not maybe got it on the street to the global one world government.
Well, look, and we live in a free country, so you've got people that are globalists. I mean, inside the United States, you live in a country where you're free to express your beliefs or your opinions. That's the beauty of America. You don't have to agree with it. You combat those ideas with your ideas. I mean, that's and here, this is going to be, and Jordan, really quick, because we only got a minute before the break here. This is going to be, the ACLU is already trying to characterize this, but they're really on thin ground here this time. Really thin. I thought they were all the times. But
The initial travel ban has survived all the scrutiny all the way to the Supreme Court. This one, I think, is even more
easier.
Of a slam dunk for the Department of Justice. I think the ACLU is grasping at straws. They say it's a majority Muslim ban. One of those countries they list is only half Muslim, and the ban applies to everyone there in Chad. So
you got the Venezuela aspect.
I think that and North Korea. So when you look at this, it's the ACLU and the left grasping straws trying to take down the president.
All right, Logan, we're here for another 30 minutes. Let everybody know what to do.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting live. If not in your current local station, find us broadcasting live right now on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSecula, Periscope, and Twitter @JSecula, later on archived on the ACLJ app. And again, the JSecula podcast. We're right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So the president puts forward a new travel restriction. It's a presidential proclamation enhancing vetting capabilities and processes for detecting attempted entry into the United States by terrorists or other public safety threats. It includes the following countries: Chad, Iran, Syria, Libya, Somalia. Added was North Korea and Venezuela. Yemen was on the previous list and still is. Iraq is off the list. 92.2% of the Muslim world is free to travel to the United States with regular, by the way, that doesn't mean you just walk in the United States. They still get checked. Cases up at the Supreme Court. The Department of Justice has asked for additional briefing on the new order. I suspect that order will issue later today and we'll be drafting briefs on that. We've already filed, but we'll be drafting briefs on as well. Again, just to start the conversation off, Harry, from a policy standpoint, I look at this one. This is the most comprehensive. It doesn't touch the issue of refugees. That's the other order. So this isn't replacing the previous order. This is dealing with another specific issue, but it's very comprehensive. There's due process within it.
It's very comprehensive. It's very targeted. And I like the fact that it is grounded in empirical evidence. So yep. It goes beyond the statements made by the prior administration. Recall that the Obama administration targeted many of these countries several years ago. So there is clear evidence that these countries pose a direct and unmistakable threat to the United States. This proclamation advances the ball by providing additional evidence.
Yep.
You can go country by country, and the proclamation provides evidence in support of the president's decision to limit immigration from these countries.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Logan, who do we have next?
Let's go to Anita in Denver, Colorado, on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, Anita, go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to the fact that it seems like every other country around us in this world has restrictions, and they are not lambasted because people want to go reside whatever they are. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of restrictions for that. But the United States, because we are the land of the free and the place of dreams, that those who are, of us who our families built this country are expected to fund.
Well, there's no, Anita, there is no question, and Andy, there is no question that there's legally even two standards. It's like the rest of the world can do what they need to do. If the United States does it, we're immediately suspect.
Oh, yes. This is, of course, part of the apologetics that was started during the Obama administration when the president then took a world tour apologizing for the United States. It seems that there are double standards, Jay. The other countries could do this. If this was done by France or by the United Kingdom or by Greece,
wouldn't even be making news.
No one would say anything about it. But because the United States decides that maybe it's time that we looked at who was coming into our country and whether they were importing terrorism and importing ideas that were not consistent with the American way of life, then that's wrong. Well, the president, and let me say this, he is fulfilling his campaign promises and pledges with respect to the vetting and the enhanced vetting.
But it's also his constitutional authority. I mean, this is not a close question. I mean, you had nine members of the Supreme Court saying basically the president can do this, and this is even more targeted.
This is so limited. I mean, that's why I think I want to make that point. This is, if you wanted to do a Muslim ban, you need to add 54 or 55 more countries. So you're not doing that. If you are talking about not all the bad actors of the world, you'd have to add about 20 more countries to that. You're talking about individually, I think this time around it's 8. Previously it was 6, then 5, now 8. But with many exceptions within for some of those countries like Venezuela, for Somalia, and so even Iran. Even Iran, there are exceptions for people with student visas. So to say that this is coming down so hard on these countries, I think we want those students from Iran in the United States so that we can convince them that the ideology they've been taught is wrong, and maybe flip them into using that. You know, they're smart kids. Obviously, they got into U.S. probably top schools. We can use their knowledge to actually become part of the United States. These are the kind of immigrants, remember, the president's wanted to prioritize anyways, those with highly skilled immigrants.
All right, we're taking more calls and comments. We come back from the break. Logan, let everybody know we're going to hit North Korea and the issue of course, you can't ignore the tax, health care. And that's in a tough state right now, so we'll take more calls and comments on that.
That's right. A couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110, and you can find us broadcasting online. But once again, 1-800-684-3110. Exclusive videos coming up in the break.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We got a briefing this morning, as we do every morning here at the American Center for Law and Justice, from our senior military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith. He provides a daily update as to matters. On the top of the list is this. Air Force B-1B Lancer bombers flew from Guam along with F-15 Eagle fighter escorts from Japan and flew into international airspace over waters east of North Korea. This was according to the chief Pentagon spokesman. This is the farthest north of the demilitarized zone any U.S. fighter or bomber aircraft have flown off North Korea's coast in the 21st century. The president has been very strong in what he's saying about Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-un's reaction. Let me go right to Colonel Smith. Major development here. What do we have?
It is. There have been a lot of other news stories over the weekend that have overshadowed this. But on Saturday, we flew these B-1 bombers with fighter escorts off the coast, but still way north of the DMZ. First time in a couple of three decades that we've done that. First time in this century that we've done it. And, of course, you know, territorial waters are 12 nautical miles. It is the same for international airspace. So they were at least 12 miles off the coast, but way north as a show of force. And part of what makes this escalation so serious and troubling, Jay, is that the North Korean foreign minister, as he left the UN last week, said that the United States has declared war on North Korea, and therefore, he said, they have the right to shoot down U.S. aircraft, even if they're in international airspace.
Well, he said that a missile attack on the U.S. mainland has become inevitable. Mm-hmm. And on top of this, remember we told you about that nexus between Iran and North Korea? Iran's leader said that his country would bolster its air, land, and marine capabilities, including missiles, whether you like it or not, talking about kind of in defense of North Korea.
Yes.
An interesting alliance there, to
say
the least.
And Iran actually fired an intermediate-range ballistic missile over the weekend, again, in violation of U.N. sanctions.
Yep.
But the serious thing about this, the reason we flew the plane so close to the North Korean coast is because they have said that they can shoot down U.S. planes anywhere in the world. And so we sort of dared them to do that, and fortunately they did not.
Yeah, but the question, of course, is what if they did? What if they attempted to or were successful? This could escalate very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
And when will we utilize our defensive capabilities to take down these rockets? I mean, at what point? I mean, now North Korea has said that we have declared war on them. They're using that rhetorically, but they're saying from the speech and the remarks at the U.N., they believe the United States has declared war on North Korea. How does that change their posture and the aggressiveness of their testing to the point where they start getting close to the line of maybe, you know, almost hitting one of our planes or
yep.
or just more provocative acts, at what point, I'm not saying we hit Pyongyang, I'm saying we hit their missiles if they keep testing them. I mean, there's some reason why, we're not privy to that, there's some reason why the U.S. government has decided not to do that yet so far right. during this testing. I don't know if it's because of the civilian impact
yeah.
or just the capabilities.
So, Wes, the South Korean National Security Council met on Sunday to discuss their options on North Korea. We don't know what they concluded.
We do not.
Is this? What if, in advising the South Korean, you served in South Korea.
Right.
What are their options?
Their options are few, and none of them are good. They do not want a nuclear-armed, you know, even more nuclear-armed North Korea just north of their border. They do not want a war with our planes doing some of the things we're doing. And we almost have to have a show of force, Jay. We cannot allow the international community to be bullied by Kim Jong-un. It would not be unprecedented for them to shoot at or shoot down a U.S. aircraft. Years ago, they shot down a reconnaissance plane, North Korea, and we lost the entire crew. They've captured ships. The difference, though, I think, this time would be because the tensions are so high and because of Donald Trump's posture and about North Korea. If they actually shoot down or shoot at a U.S. aircraft or ship, I think all bets are off and we launch a counterattack. In the past, in every incident that has happened, from the shooting down of our planes, killing of soldiers on the DMZ, capturing our ships, the U.S. has never retaliated militarily. That could be about to change.
Let me ask another question on this. Based on your review of the U.N. last week, you had the United States, you had other countries speaking. The Chinese have said they're going to stop banking now with the North Koreans. Mm-hmm. You got that issue. But the Russians, it looks like, are still doing business with the, unfortunately, with the North Koreans propping it up. How did you view the UN scenario last week? I thought the president had a good week.
He did have a good week. And
the country had a good week.
Right, right. And his critics can fault him maybe for some of the style of his speech, but his speech was on the mark. He said exactly, you know, what reality is. You know, this is our reality, and this is where the United States is and what our stand will be. So it was good. The United Nations, of course, has a history of being pretty feckless on these kinds of issues.
Well, I mean, and that goes Republican and Democrat.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you look at it, it was President H.W. Bush, President Clinton, President Bush, George W. Bush, and President Obama. Everybody's moved this issue of North Korea, just kind of kicked it down the can.
Right. And I think you know, I like what General Jack Keane said, that, you know, we keep kicking the can down the road, but we're about out of road.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. What are we seeing, Logan, on Facebook and Periscope? I got a question for Jordan on this.
Yeah, a lot of people are just asking about what a war with North Korea would look like. Mary said, is that something that would actually happen?
Yeah.
Would we declare war? How does that work?
Well, you served in the region, mm-hmm. so, and you served in North South Korea. Boy, I mean, you got Japan would be in harm's way immediately.
Right.
Of course, South Korea would be in harm's way. Guam.
Yeah, and millions of Koreans and U.S. personnel, other expatriates in South Korea. We would win, and I think we would win quickly, but not before, you know, mass casualties on a scale that we've probably not seen since Korea or perhaps World War II. It would be awful and bloody. I think everyone hopes that does not happen. But at this point, Kim Jong-un is not only not backing down, he's escalating tensions.
Well, you just said this, and I'm going to run this to Jordan here, because from an international law standpoint. So North Korea now is threatening to shoot down U.S. bombers, as the minister of their minister of defense says. The country is interpreting the president's statements as a war declaration, which yeah. it was not, by the way.
Right.
But if they shoot down a U.S. We're at war.
And I think that there's two main options then. South Korea has a decapitation force to take out the North Korean leadership. We could back that and basically kill all of the North Korean main leaders from the top down, and then kind of see if that creates such a vacuum that it's just a country in chaos. Number two, the more extreme option is, we know where their missile sites are and we know where their main city is. You nuke all of them. You nuke Pyongyang. You nuke every missile site. Yes, there's mass casualties. And as the president said, North Korea would be obliterated, would be destroyed. And you can do that. And then you may be able to limit a lot of civilian casualties outside of North Korea.
Yes.
Inside North Korea, you're going to have a lot of civilian casualties. But those folks are bought in, for the most part, to this dangerous regime.
Yeah. Logan, what are you seeing on social media? I got an interesting one, but I want to see if you got one also.
Yeah, a lot of comments have been coming in. This is a comment that came in from Gloria. She said, Is it? Well, hold on. Let me circle back. A lot of comment coming around quick. So give me a second. So many people commenting right now that the comments are coming in.
Yeah. So I'm getting what I'm seeing on social media right now is that people think that Kim Jong Un is saber rattling, that he is taking this action or making these statements as kind of a threat to test our capabilities and where we think. What do you think, Wes? Is this a situation with regard to, is this the North Koreans testing the president?
It's posturing, absolutely. It's posturing, and they have a 40, 50-year history of when they posture and when they act out that the U.S. has historically not taken any action other than sanctions and protest. And so it is posturing on their part. As Jordan alluded to earlier, though, when you have this kind of extreme posturing, when you have, you know, them threatening to shoot down U.S. military aircraft anywhere they find them, the chance of this escalating in a moment of time is so great, much greater probably than it's been since the Korean War ended in 1953. This is a powder keg right at the moment.
What happens if you take Kim Jong-un out? I mean, if he's taken out, like Jordan said, a decapitation force, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows because it's such a close country. Jordan's right. South Korean special forces have been training with U.S. special forces. They have that capability. Jay, you're the lawyer. You and Jordan. I don't know.
There's legal issues if we do it. The United States.
It would be South Korea led.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be South Korea led, and their job, their duty there would be that this would be the way to limit more casualties. Certainly, it would limit more casualties than us dropping nuclear bombs on Pyongyang and six or seven other nuclear sites, which is probably the only other solution that would lead to less South Korean, Japanese, and Russian casualties, is by us taking the most extreme measures necessary. I think the president would go there if he had to. Limited strikes are not going to work against this country.
They will retaliate.
You hit limited strikes, they're going to strike right back with much less limited strikes. So whenever you do hit actual mainland, I'm not talking about shooting their rockets out of the sky. Whenever you hit mainland Pyongyang, you better hit to the point where, as the president said, it's destroyed.
Yeah, it has to be quick and overwhelming in order to limit South Korean casualties.
All right, that's our update on North Korea. We're going to get into healthcare coming up in the last segment of the broadcast and taking your calls as well. Logan?
That's right. Got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. You can get your comments on social media. Keep watching us during the breaks. We'll have more content coming up, but again, now just one line open, but you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can visit aclj.org for everything else that's going on with the organization and to keep following us and everything we do.
To talk about Obamacare, folks, this is the repeal, which was looking pretty good, not looking so good right now. We'll talk about it.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Not looking too good for the repeal of Obamacare, that's for sure. Now, there's been some efforts today to try to entice Murkowski from Alaska and also Collins from Maine, but now you've got Senator Cruz saying he may be a no. You've got others. So this is an ongoing struggle, to say the least. Let's go ahead and take a phone call at 800-684-3110. I'm going to go to Gene, who is calling from Alabama on line one. You got a big Senate, I guess, vote tomorrow in your primary, Republican primary. Gene, let me ask you this. How are things going down there on your in this primary?
Well, it's been pretty tough. I mean, they're really politic, you know, everything else. I mean, it's both ways, so.
Who are you leaning towards?
We have to wait tomorrow to find out more.
Yeah, I think right now he's a bit of a head. So they say it's going to be close. We'll see. All right, let's go ahead. Gene, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if they want to repeal the Obamacare, I think you ought to put the senators all on Obamacare.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what the president – can he do that? Or,
I mean, this is a failure of Republican leadership of huge proportions. I mean, look – This would never, if the Democrats were trying to do something, they had control of the Senate, they'd get this done. It's unbelievable to me that after 7 years of campaigning on this, they failed to deliver. Now more people are coming out opposed.
I'm not sure if they will, but if people like Mitch McConnell and others cannot get this done, they should step aside as leaders. Not step aside necessarily as U.S. senators, but they should step aside as leaders because they clearly don't possess the capability. They are not the chess masters they've been told they are, that we've been told they are. They should step aside.
Yep.
Now, second, the president cannot put the senators on the health care. That's part of the legislation. The law would have to change. Now, these new proposals would do that, but unfortunately, none of these new proposals look like they're going anywhere because even if they get Murkowski and Collins, now you got Ted Cruz and Mike Lee saying
no. I mean, what's happening right now is seems to be the problem. Every time you think you're about to get, of course, John McCain did his number on Friday. Then you had Murkowski, which in Collins, they've been pretty clear that they've been no. They're trying to make it better for them. But now you got Senator Cruz and Mike Lee saying, we don't like it. Rand Paul said he doesn't like it. You could have 42, maybe 43 senators. Yes, that may be it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of what you got here. It's very, very disappointing.
If three or four say no, then three or four more join them. And we saw that last time.
Yep.
When it's clear that it's not going to pass, they kind of unleash.
The
whip count is over. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Joe on line two in California. You're on the air, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to have a quick comment and then a question. I know that we, on the Republican side, were very upset with how the Obamacare was rammed through Congress without any bipartisan support.
Right.
Aren't we doing the same thing in our complaints here with this current legislation they're trying to get
lack
through?
Lack of bipartisanship.
It doesn't have lack of bipartisanship. And so the question
because
then
I think
becomes,
here's the problem. I think those days are probably gone. I mean, there may be a couple of issues where they are, but they're not going to be bipartisan on this. I think this is a Senate that's closely divided, and the Republicans are divided within themselves. So you've got I like bipartisanship. I don't see it happening.
This is how you get to bipartisanship. You pass this first phase. Phase one, doing away with Obamacare, will take all Republican votes. Then the Democrats, who are unwilling to work in a bipartisan way right now,
will be compelled to
because they are no longer attempting. This is the problem. They're attempting to save President Obama's only legacy, the leader of their party, the past president of the United States, from the Democrat Party. So by trying to save his legacy, they are not going to go bipartisan on health care until you strip Obamacare out of the law. That's phase one. If you get that done, we could actually get to bipartisan solutions in phase two and three of the implementation of this, but you cannot get there without getting rid of Obamacare.
But I'm going to play Senator Cruz's comment, and Senator Cruz has been on this broadcast many times. We've represented Senator Cruz in case briefs we filed at the Supreme Court where senators have come on, but here's what he said.
Right now, they don't have my vote, and I don't think they have Mike Lee's either. Now, I want to be a yes. I want to get there because I think Obamacare is a disaster.
I think that the Senate senators are using any excuse they can to not vote for this. I mean, I think that's what this is. And if we're kidding ourselves as conservatives if we think this is, you know, if this is anything other than, is ask yourself this question. Do they really want to repeal Obamacare? Yeah. That's what I'm really asking. Do you think they really want to repeal Obamacare? Because it looks like to me that as they pile on, they're not.
They don't want to be responsible for America's health. They'd rather just blame President Obama.
Yeah.
Problem is that if you allow that to continue, we end up with a single-payer system in
our
country.
Which is what the Democrats, what to the left, and not even, I wouldn't even say, not all Democrats want that because they clearly don't, but there's a lot that do.
I think most do. They just, some say this is not the right time to have the discussion. Let it happen organically, which is...
means Obamacare fails.
And it already is failing. And
no question.
Republicans are not going to bail out Obamacare, and if they're forced to do that, they'll be over with as for re-election. Their people will be so upset with them, their voters. So we're going to get down this path. And by the way, this option to do this with only 51 votes will not be available again for another year. That means another year of a major entitlement program that is failing, but will still be in place for at least one more year through another election cycle.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call on this.
All right, let's go to Ellen, who's calling in Sacramento on line 6. You're on the air.
Ellen. Hi, Ellen.
If you want to call in, too, give us a call.
Hi.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Because I wanted to get a comment through to some of these senators.
Yep.
And I understand that it feels really good for them to stand on a stump and take a hard line. But I want them to understand that those of us at the bottom of this healthcare food chain are paying a huge personal price for this hard line stand. So I'm a single mom. I'm a licensed therapist. I'm a college faculty member. I have advanced degrees. I can't get a full-time job at my university like many faculty because of the employer mandate.
Yes, because
I've gotten saddled with coverage that's essentially major medical, unusable, high deductible, doesn't cover any of my prescription drugs that I need on a monthly basis. Yep. And then like so many of my healthcare clients and myself, I'm stuck having to carefully manage my income so I don't cross bands. And then get a $7,000 or $8,000 tax.
So you're getting, California, you're getting hit particularly hard. But let me tell you something. There are counties in the United States, and Ellen, I understand that concern. And that's why I am really pushing for this to get fixed. And until you have a competition between state lines, over state lines, you're not going to get it fixed. But you got to do this in phases. And if they do nothing, what you just experienced with an employer saying, you know what, if I've got to add you to my full-time staff, all of a sudden my cost of employment go up $40,000 or $50,000, you know what they decide? You're going to work 29 hours a week. That's the problem with all of this.
And that's what we said with these mandates is that they will just employ people up to the minimum hours, maximum hours they can without having to provide insurance. And this is going to cause a serious trouble for everybody, including those who are in an earning bracket, which they don't get then the government support for the insurance.
Yep.
Well, let's take a last call today, Ray in California.
All right, Ray, you're the last call for the day. We got Venezuela. Go ahead.
Ray, you there?
Hello, guys. Hello?
Go. Run out of time.
Okay, yes. Hi, there. I had a comment about the ban that with executive order, and I totally agree, even for the fact of Venezuela.
Venezuela as to government officials, not as to citizens. So I want to be clear on that. It's as to government officials because of the situation.
Government officials and their families.
And their families. So it's very, very limited, Ray, there. All right, we're out of time. We covered a lot of topics today. Hey, don't forget, support. We're in the last 5 days of the month here, 4 days of the month, whatever it is. We need your support for the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Your tax-deductible donations make a huge difference in our ability to fight all of these issues on all of these fronts. And again, aclj.org, especially as we get to the end of the month. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.